Hi, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. Welcome to Letting Go with Guy Finley. Guy is the best-selling author of Let Go and Live in the Now and is the founding director of nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. And now, here's Guy Finley.
Phil and Carl, you know them, don't you? Have been lifelong chums. Went to grammar school, high school, college, and finally law school as best friends. And when they graduated, both of them, and since it's a story, we might as well make it cum laude. And when they graduated together, they were hired by the same law firm. And they set out on their journey in life together. When Phil and Carl began their work at this law firm, they had both decided that they would live in a certain area of town because of its desirability, it's fashionable, and each found their own place appropriately. And over the next 6 months or so of the outset of their burgeoning career, Phil began to notice that Carl, who had been jubilant, excited, a real go-getter, began to look less and less happy, more and more conflicted, troubled by something. And while it wasn't their usual relationship, Phil decided that he needed to ask what it was that was going on. What was it that was so much troubling Carl that he had become kind of a stick in the mud? So he said, "Hey, Carl, what's happening, man? Why have you become more and more, I'll just say it. You come to work now and you're unpleasant. Used to be kind of a kick. You'd come, we'd talk about the cases we had to do, and now you walk in, every time you walk into this office, you look like someone who's been through all kinds of trouble." Carl looks at Phil, he says, "It shows, huh?" Phil says, "Yeah, of course it shows. Everybody can see it. What's up with you?" He said, "You know, it's going to sound silly, but every morning I get up. Every morning I put on my clothes, and every morning I go down to that special bakery that has the mocha special and the special breakfast. Every day I do it. And you know what?" He said, "Phil, I just can't stand it anymore. I just can't take it." Phil looked at Carl. He said, "Well, I'll tell you what, man. I'll pick you up tomorrow morning around 7. And I'll take you to my favorite breakfast spot. How's that sound?" Carl says, "I don't think I can do that tomorrow." Phil says, "Well, okay, that's all right. Let's do it the day after tomorrow." Carl says, "No, I know. That's not going to work either." Phil says, "Well, what day is going to work for you, Carl?" Long pause. Carl says, I can't. Is it Phil or Carl? Carl says, I can't think of a day that's going to work." And Phil looks and says, "Well, what do you mean? Why not?" He said, "Well, for starters, if I go with you to your favorite breakfast place, how am I going to be sure I'm going to like it there? If I go with you to your favorite breakfast place, how am I going to be sure I like it there? I'm going to keep saying this until..." Okay, let's go back to the start of the story. Why is Carl unhappy? Because he eats at the same place every day and he always has the same thing and he can't stand it. So... better take several deep breaths. Phil says, "Okay, you go with me to my spot." "No, I can't." "Why not?" "I'm not sure I'm going to like it there." Oh, you know what? This talk is over. when you signed up for the seminar and it said, are you smart? And you checked there. How many of you know the story of the ugly duckling hands? Most of us do. It's a very familiar fairy tale, one by and large that was either taught to us or somehow given to us as children, because inside of it was a fabulous principle. And the principle was actually a rather deep one, far deeper than the common glance presents to the mind. But for those of you that aren't familiar, the ugly duckling was actually the story of a beautiful swan, a black swan, who fell in amongst ducklings and lived the life of a duckling for a while, which was very unnatural to it, until one day this beautiful creature, as it matured, looked in the reflection of the waters. And in this instance, the reflection of the waters means that this creature saw the truth of itself in the waters. It saw the truth of itself. It saw its actual nature. And when it saw its actual nature, it realized that it wasn't an ugly duckling, that it wasn't a duckling, but it was indeed a creature of a different order. And in the story, the swan is a more noble, elegant creature than the duck. Well, what we're going to look at this morning is the story of the ugly stuckling. How many of you can relate? Well, first of all, maybe we should just clarify this for some of you who go, I don't get it, ugly stuckling. How many of you know or at least sense that you're in a rut? Raise your hands. The ugly stuckling refers to a mistaken identity, just as the ugly duckling did. And it is our task to see the truth behind the illusion of a rut, of being stuck. And in case it hasn't struck home yet, a person is in a rut when or if, and we can use different ways of explaining it, but I want you to see it so you just don't think of yourself or someone who, you know, where we live, we got deer and they walk all the time in the same path and they make a rut because that's the pattern of their life. But a person can be stuck, can be in the rut of what? Any of you rush all the time? How about trying all the time to control events and people around you? What about the belief that you can't do something that you want to do? How about that for a rut? How about the rut or being stuck in the idea that somehow or other everyone around you should approve of you the way that you want to be approved of? Isn't that a rut? And isn't more to the point, and at the root of it, isn't the habitual reaction to an event wherein you don't want it or you resist it or you get negative over it? In other words, there are habitual negative reactions to events. Is that not a rut? Now, here's a fascinating fact. We're going to learn a lot about ruts, about patterns, about the science of them and what causes them and what's real and what's not. Have you ever thought about this? How many of you have ever been in a pattern that turned into a rut? Now go slow with this. The difference between a pattern and a rut is that when I'm in a pattern and I'm getting out of it what I want, it's not a rut. But one morning I wake up, and I'm sitting there having my coffee that I love having, and I'm looking out the window I love looking out of, or whatever it is that I'm doing. One moment, everything in my life has been dedicated to setting this up so it happens like that. And one moment I'm sitting there and I'm in a rut. Yes or no? Have you ever found yourself in a rut like that? Something that seems quite natural and positive and part of your life one day turns out to be a rut. This happens all the time, by the way. You'd be surprised. Person sets out to establish whatever it is that he or she believes should be the kind of life they have. And they're going to get this house, and they're going to make that money, and they're going to have that picket fence, or whatever it is a person decides they're going to do. And while they are producing that, manifesting it, in other words, once the image is set in the mind and they go after that to get it and put it in place, the person's not in a rut. The person's on a boat headed to Jamaica, aren't they? But the next thing you know, everything that you've established that was part of your escape plan becomes part of your prison, and then you think then I'm in a rut. Yay or nay? All right. In order to get out of a rut, whatever it may be, and it would be beneficial during the talk if you were a little bit willing to think about something that's habitual to you.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at GuyFinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit GuyFinley.com. That's GuyFinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.
You know, impatience is a rut. Always judging people is a rut. That there are so many different ways in which a person gets stuck in a rut and becomes the ugly stuckling. And I want to just touch back on that for a second. You know, are you nice or ugly when you're stuck? Yeah, it's ugly, isn't it? You get around somebody and they're sure that there's no hope for them. There's no chance. Nothing can change. Whatever it is that's going on inside of them. And that person's an unpleasant person. That's why it's called the ugly stuckling. To be able to change that, to escape, if you will, the rut, three principal things are needed. The first and foremost thing that's needed is that a person must actually understand that it is possible to get out of a rut. That's the first thing, that it's possible to get out of a rut. You would be surprised how many people at a certain point in their life come to a certain terms, come to certain terms with their own tormented life, meaning this sensation that this is all there is, it can never be any different, I'm just going to have to learn to live with it the way it is. I'm going to have to learn to live with this fear. I'm going to have to learn to live with my anxiety. I want you to understand that anything that tells you you have to live with something that inhabits you that's negative is a lie. And if you don't have that in your mind now, get it there. Because when the time comes, and it will come just by the fact that you're listening to what I'm speaking of, that you realize, you know what, when I walk up to people, I always stand in a certain way. I never realize that I hold my arms together or clench my fists. You would not believe all of the different ways in which the human being, unbeknownst to himself or herself, repeats certain behaviors that when they first start out seem to be a natural quality and something necessary, but then eventually a person starts to realize, you know, this isn't what I want. I don't want to be a human being who's afraid of another human being. I don't want to be someone who always finds something wrong with life. How about that for a rut? How many of you are masters at finding something wrong? So the first thing is the knowledge that it's possible to change that, to break out of it. That's the first thing. And we're going to talk about each of these steps. The second thing that's necessary to escape a rut is to actually understand that there are forces that oppose a human being getting out of a rut. There are actual forces that oppose a human being escaping negative patterns. That's a fact. And the third thing that a person has to know if they're going to get unstuck is that in order to make a change, because that's the essence of it, to make a real change in our lives, to get out of these ruts of thought, emotion, body habits, to get out of any particular rut is going to take a struggle on the part of the person. There is no exception to that rule. So first, the knowledge that it's possible, we're going to get it. Second, the understanding of the forces that stand in the way of a person breaking free of those negative patterns. And finally, the understanding that when the moment comes, which is always present, by the way, in which it's possible for me to break the rut of, and then you fill in the blank, that moment's going to take a risk. That moment's going to take a struggle. And when we have these three elements in place, we'll be able to do something that we've never done before. So now, let's start to gather some of this understanding. Take a deep breath. I want to repeat the idea that I started the talk with. That when we're busy planning our lives and setting in place the pattern that eventually manifests that plan, when we're doing that, there's not a problem, is there? There's no rut in that. It's actually alive to us. And I also want you to understand that at the outset of such things, there is something in that pattern that is natural. You know what's largely unseen? Is that, take it, this is, you gotta kind of lift for this. The universe itself is established in a pattern. Our Earth and the planets, the solar system, our galaxy in relationship to other galaxies. From the most microcosmic to the most macrocosmic level of life, everything has a pattern to it. But now here's an important idea, and where our minds have to be facile enough to understand something critical to our safety, to our freedom, is that the pattern, and let's take the pattern of the four seasons, shall we? When that spring season comes, is it not a pattern that the tree brings out leaves that it lost in the wintertime? Yes or no? That is a pattern, and it happens every year. But the leaves that grow on the tree every year are not the same leaves. In fact, could you imagine a tree? Spring comes, it goes, oh no, not leaves again. Oh man, I'm in a rut. Well, good, that's funny. And you can see that's ludicrous, isn't it? Trigo, what's with this? Another year of leaves? Why can't I grow bells or something? So the first thing that needs to be understood is that there are all the time these repeating patterns, but the patterns that repeat themselves are never exactly the same pattern. This is so critical in your spiritual knowledge, because presently the pattern that you look at in your life that you call the rut, you don't see any change in it. And the reason that you, in quotes, don't see any change in the pattern, in the rut that you call your life, whatever that may be, is because the self that is looking at it, the image, that part of you that looks at it, is looking at what it has fixed. So when you see a pattern, you say, I'm stuck in a rut or whatever that's occurring, the self that observes the pattern is a conspirator in the pattern. It doesn't want the pattern to change because it's part and parcel with its existence inside of you. Can you understand that idea? Let me see. So when we talk about patterns, we have to have a special understanding that isn't given. And that is that everything is in a pattern. Every year, the day of your birth returns when a certain time takes place in a certain movement measured by the way the sun and the earth relate to each other. And every year that that pattern repeats itself, it repeats itself not quite the same. This is really important information. Because you see, if it repeated itself every time exactly the same, then the pattern could never change. It would be impossible. But there's always a variance in the pattern. But for us, there's no variance in the pattern because we've made it a rut. We've made it into a mental idea. We've made it into something that literally we've become habituated to, emotionally, psychologically. Now, how does it happen? How does it happen that a man or a woman, and we'll just take a kind of common example, he or she sets out and they look at their life and they take the basis of their family and all that's going on. They say, you know what? I'm not going to be like my father, or I'm going to be different than my mother, or I'm going to live differently than my brothers did, or whatever it is. And the person takes the image that's formed in their mind at that time of what it's going to take for them to be free. It takes that as their guide, as their counsel. And of course, the person doesn't know that at the moment that that image appears in their mind as the way out, that it's actually an extension of what they're in. That it's an opposite. That who they don't want to be, or who they think they ought to be, would never occur to them were it not the resistance to some other form that was already established in their mind. So here a person imagines what they're going to do and become, and every one of us have done this. And so you go out and you build the business, or you get the job, or you make the change, or whatever it is you do. And all the time that you're doing that, and this is a necessary step, stages in a person's development, whereby the experience of going through these various ways in which we manifest the world we think we should be in, we eventually come to the point where that which we thought was the path to our freedom becomes the very cell of our prison. So that now I'm a slave to the very career that I thought would complete me. Or whatever it may be. I'm a captive of that relationship with that man when I thought having him in my life would be the end of everything. Meaning better. So can you see the evolution of it? It starts with an idea, an image that the mind establishes. The image has all of these wondrous feelings of freedom and goodness in them. We go after, we produce, manifest, otherwise get involved with that. It becomes part of, at that point, wonderful things. Have you ever, see, this is our problem. We don't have much of what I call a long body. We don't see very well that the thing that we sit and say to ourselves today, this is a nightmare, why am I in this? Was the stuff of our dream a week, a year, or 10 years before. We don't see that. But it's critical to start seeing something like that, because in the birth of that understanding, that longer ability to see the reflection of the truth of one's nature, then a person starts to see, ah, I can recognize now that what I am now doing, what I now act out, what I now am the embodiment of, that prior to my awareness of being in that position was not a punishment but a pleasure to me. A habitual negative reaction, for instance, of arrogance. The act of being strong, pretending to be something you're not, that's a rut, isn't it? And a person can live in a rut like that their whole life until one day they see that it damages something or someone.
You're listening to Letting Go with Guy Finley. For more information about Guy's life-empowering ideas, visit guyfinley.com. We'll be back in a moment.
One reason the wind of good fortune is often found at the back of people who are successful in life is because these individuals are usually found moving ahead of it in anticipation of its arrival. Hi, this is Dr. Ellen Dickstein. The engaging words of best-selling author Guy Finley remind us that real success in life is a relationship between ourselves and a timeless greatness that lives within us. Each week, you can receive a powerful, life-affirming message from Guy, guaranteed to help you succeed with your wish for a new life. Each brief, uplifting insight reminds you that nothing can stop you from knowing the higher happiness your heart longs for. To receive Guy Finley's free weekly key lessons, just visit guyfinley.com. Join the thousands of grateful individuals who are learning how to make themselves and our world a better place. Visit guyfinley.com. That's GUYFINLEY.com.
Welcome back to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley.
The fear of another human being, living in the fear of another human being, and I don't care for what reason, is a rut. But the person who lives in that rut, who fears the individual for God only knows what reason, maybe it's always because of what you want from them, then in such a moment, one day a person says, you know what? Jesus, what is this uneasiness, this fear I feel? And in that moment, what that person had taken as being protection is seen as being an illusion that is no longer necessary or required for their life. They don't want that anymore. And in that moment, the person becomes conscious of actually being in a rut that they took as being some kind of beautiful reality. And it's that moment when we see things such as that, that we start to realize, well, I didn't know that my condition was such that I'm actually like this. I didn't know that I was afraid of people. I didn't know that all I can do is push people around, whatever it may be. And it's then that a person looks and says, all right, I need to make a true change in my life. I need to stop being what I've been. Now, let's look at this. Why does an individual, any of us, why do we set out as we do in life to acquire or achieve those positions, powers, relationships that when we set out for them, we believe is going to make us more confident, more content? Why do we do that? The underpinning inside of a human being, the true underpinning, is an individual's longing to know something permanent. There is an essential search inside of each and every one of us for something that is true, something that's unshakable, for something that's pure. We're built with that. And I want you to understand that what is pure is always coming down. It's always coming down. There is purity that is constantly coming down. Pure energy, pure love, pure compassion, pure qualities that as they come down and they move through, if you will, various levels of life, various realities, these energies, when they enter into the human being, they get, well, actually the word is they become perverse. Here's this pure wish for something eternal, the pure wish for something, a constant, I like the image, the constant star by whose light one is guided. There's a natural longing in a person for something like that. And that energy comes down and it's expressed in us, but it comes perverse. And the word perverse, by the way, it means turning in many directions. And that energy begins to turn in many directions because of the fact of what happens to it as it becomes into us, as it comes into us. I want you to listen to this. All things, all creatures seek security and the shelter according to, security and shelter according to their nature. All things do. It's built into them. The bug, the nature of a bug, always look for a rock to climb under. Yes or no? That's what a bug does. The nature of a bird seeks a sheltering branch or a bush to live in. That's what a bird does. The nature of a buffalo is to seek a herd for the security that comes with living in a herd. Listen, the nature of the human mind is to seek the security and familiarity of a fixed image. That's the nature of the human mind. Just like the nature of the buffalo, the bird, and the bug is to pursue what its nature gives it to seek for shelter and security, the human mind, its present level, seeks the shelter and the security of the images that it creates. Have you ever come back to yourself in a moment, which I'd urge you to do right now, and caught yourself in a whole mind talking about this, that, or there, talking? Do you ever come back and catch your mind talking? Well, do you know who it's talking to? This is important. See, here's the problem. You're walking down the street and you don't know that the United Nations is meeting up there in this cavern called your head. And all of a sudden, the pressure of all that conversation, you go, what? And you're in the middle of a dialogue with someone who died 32 years ago. And all of a sudden, you think you have been having that conversation. The mind talks to itself. The mind talks to itself. It isn't you. The you that you think is in there is the sudden sensation of a self that's produced by the opposite of suddenly discovering your mind is a jabberwock. Don't ask me what a jabberwock is. Constantly chattering away. So a person, what's this? Okay. That's very funny. It's like you come into a conversation and you're late. And you go, could you back that up? Because how did I get to the point where I'm buying a house? Or whatever it may be. And so, to make the point relative to this idea of a rut, what happens is that because the mind, the nature of the mind, to seek shelter, to seek security. The nature of the mind is to find that in the images that it creates. And it is the mind's relationship with its own imagery that eventually produces in that mind a great dependency and attachment on those images. And the nature of the rut, the true nature of the rut, is the continual returning to those patterns that thought produces in order to lend itself that sense of familiarity. In order to be who I am, I must have that which won't let me be different. I must have those that are against me. I must have this situation that I would be different in if only. But every single one of those circumstances that I'm describing have given power over to the idea of a pattern that seems greater than the self to escape, when the self is the root of the pattern and depends upon it in order to keep itself feeling itself and safe. Yes, understanding this? Now, it can be proven. Did any of you ever watch, some of you are probably too young, the Mickey Mouse Club? M-I-C. See you real soon. Why? Because I've had it with you. Do you remember, those of you that remember in the Mickey Mouse Club, every once in a while Donald Duck would come out with that big mallet and he'd go over there and that'd be that huge gong and Donald would swing his big mallet, hit the gong, and instead of the gong reverberating, his mallet would start to reverberate, come back up the stick, and Donald would be shaking like a madman and, you know, literally blow apart because of the vibration that passed through the mallet. Yes or no? See, it can be proven that if you take a certain set of circumstances, a certain set of elements, and in this instance now we're talking about the individual qualities of the essence that lives inside of a human being, and each and every one of you are a gong of a different nature. Well, every word that I'm saying is producing a reverberation in every single one of you in a different order, isn't it? So that you can see that given a certain set of conditions, fixed conditions, such as the material of a gong, that when that gong is struck by a mallet, every time that gong has to repeat out the sound, the note, the tone, that is the expression of its very element. Understood? So it is true in one respect when it comes to a human being. You cannot escape God's great gong striker. Meaning that the mallet of life, how many of you know the mallet of life? You can't escape the strike of the mallet. But unfortunately, because when the note is sounded, when the essential qualities of a person's character, their soul, if you will, is struck by that mallet, and out comes what? Always the same note.
Hear Guy Finley in person. Guy lives and teaches in Merlin, Oregon, where he speaks four times each week at beautiful nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. Visit us anytime and hear Guy's life-transforming principles in a friendly, serene, and inspiring environment. Visit GuyFinley.org or call 541-476-1200 to learn more about friendly ongoing classes. You are not alone in your quest for a new life. At Life of Learning, you'll meet others who are also seeking higher understanding, and you'll experience the power and inspiration of hearing Guy Finley in person. Plan to visit us and take the next step in your spiritual development. For information, call 541-476-1200, 541-476-1200, or visit GuyFinley.org. That's GUYFINLEY.org.
Because the note is the expression of, the manifestation of, the pattern of that individual's essence. It can't sound a different note than that. But something different can happen. Because sown into that essence, sown into every single one of us, is something that is not a pattern. Is sown into us something that belongs to not the world of passing time in which these patterns repeat themselves, but the world of that which is timeless. And I want to keep this simple. I never want to talk about things that we can't see as being a fact ourselves in the moment that it's being spoken about. That which can see anything that takes place, anything in you that can be aware of a certain habitual sounding, such as the sound of I can't, the sound of it won't work, the sound of I have my right to be this way, the sound of any petty grievance. Every time such a sound comes up in a human being, the reason that the human being isn't aware of that sound, that note being a rut, is because at the moment of the sounding comes with it the self that is the justifier of that note. I have a reason to believe that I can't. I'm certain that I must respond this way because. And what you see is that built inside of this present mind that I said exists in order to establish images so that it can know itself through them is anything that threatens the image of oneself that one derives this familiar sense of self from. Anything that's a problem to that is a problem to me. And the real rut is the continuity between that self and its image, so that nothing shakes up that familiar sense of myself, no matter what the cost, I might add. Do you know people who stay in bad relationships? How about within themselves? Did you ever think that justifying your own negativity is probably the worst possible rut a person can be in? How many of you feel sorry for yourself from time to time? You want to make a sighing sound? I'll give you a moment to do it. You know, yeah, exactly. This is, you know. Now, when you feel sorry for yourself, what are you looking at? What does the mind see prior to the establishment of that emotion in which one is crying over oneself? One sees all that they didn't become, all they didn't make it as. And so here I am, and I'm looking at this image, and the me that's looking at this picture, that feels sorry for itself, that goes into these moments of self-pity, I want you to tell me, did that nature create the image? Or did the image create the self that sits and feels sorry for itself? Which is it? And the fact is, they appear pretty much simultaneously, don't they? Suddenly a certain sadness, a certain note, something strikes me. I may see someone and they look happier than I do. And in the moment that I see something like that, in that split second, there's the gong, the mallet comes, doesn't it? Boom. And now, I don't have that. I don't have what? So here comes the third part. We've talked about first knowing that it's possible. We've talked about that which stands in our way. Because it isn't life that prohibits us from stepping outside of whatever that cycle is. It is not life that does that. We can see. And this is really critical to see. How do I say? For you to be aware of, understand, not just with the mind, but emotionally, grasp the idea that life repeats patterns, but that which is manifested in that pattern is not itself a repetition. Which means that there's always freedom. There's always freedom. Yes, the pattern exists. And as long as we're in bodies, by God, there are patterns that have to be answered to. But a pattern in itself is not a punishment. The punishment is when a person makes and establishes out of that pattern the idea of it as not being sufficient to his new idea of what he or she thinks they ought to be. And in that moment, you've got conflict. In that moment, you've got the feeling of, I want to get out of this. This is no good for me. Now, anybody here ever want to break out of a rut, whatever it may be? Raise your hands. We'll recap. First, 99% of the time, what we find that we want to break out of, we broke into. So that's an important discovery. Because what we don't want to do is break out of something only to break into something again. Do we? Do you understand the idea? I mean, what possible good is it for me to break out of this rut by establishing in my mind, which is what it wants to do, that escape plan? Where the image, the image comes up with the next way in which no longer to be in a pattern, and it establishes what it needs to do and be in order to escape it. And the next thing you know, what you've broken out of turns to be that which you have reproduced for yourself. So the answer can't be that, can it? And this takes a certain amount of spiritual maturity, people. Now, I hope you're up to it. Because most of us, the only way we know about feeling better about ourselves is to imagine a better self doing better things. But that is not the road to reality. That is not the life that we're interested in if we want a God-centered being. We have to start recognizing that what is creating this rut never calls it a rut when it starts it. So the understanding that what starts life for us over and over again, what rises up as that star in the sky by which we're going to be guided to a new life, we have to be conscious enough in the moment that when it comes, that we mustn't go along with that, but not only not go along with that, but strike out in a new manner. If you have ever been in a condition where you found yourself in a rut, maybe you can't stop thinking about something. Maybe there's a problem that you wish that you could just get past, but the conditions of your life won't allow you to do it. Maybe you want to make a real change, but you look at your life and you say, it's impossible, the situation that I'm in. In such moments, apart from natural responsibility, should you have that, to those who are dependent upon you, and even that's dubious in the mind of the speaker, apart from children, in such moments, you have to realize that if you're going to break that pattern, you're first of all going to have to be aware of, break that rut. You're first of all going to have to be conscious of its appearance in you in the moment when life strikes the note that makes you aware of it. That's the first thing. You have to be attentive. You have to have the intention. But the next thing is this, and this is where, spiritually speaking, the wheat is separated from the chaff. You cannot consult your mind when it comes to walking away from a rut. you're caught in a situation where you think, I've got to do certain things in order to succeed, and why have I got to succeed? We don't look at that because I don't want to be seen as a failure. Or I've got to get this done in a certain way. Whatever it is that a person is caught up in that moment, and the person doesn't want to do it, or let's say they're in a relationship or they want to make a dramatic change of some kind, you start talking to your mind. More accurately, your mind starts talking and you fall into the dialogue. It starts telling you it's impossible. And then the mind, now listen, that created the image that you first broke into in order to acquire, that now you want to break out. Now the mind says that if you don't have this, if you don't do that, if you don't, whatever it is, you will come to an end. That'll be it. See ya. Everything's going to be gone. And it uses fear. Fear is the enforcer of the rut. It always speaks to you in do or die terms. It says, yes, it would be nice, but. And what you have to get to the point inwardly is when you look at this and you start to understand, yes, life repeats patterns, but nothing in the pattern is truly repeated. Life itself, God's life, is new. And when you understand the fact of that, and then you see inside of yourself that when life strikes you, it brings certain tones up. When you have certain thoughts, it brings up certain wishes. Then in those moments where that appears, it is mandatory that you look at such an instant, and then you do not talk to yourself. You leap into the moment. You leap. You leave yourself. But the difficulty in leaving ourselves is that we don't know what we're leaving ourselves for. And that mind would rather have the familiar ache, the familiar anger, the familiar worry, than go into the unfamiliar life in which it can't know itself through an image it produced prior to its action. See, it's hard for us to understand. Anytime the mind produces, at a psychological, spiritual level, an image by which it's going to act, it has created the seed of the rut. Because the minute that it acts according to the image, then it becomes dependent upon keeping it in place. And the very thing that was going to free one becomes one's anchor. So the task becomes increasingly to recognize the truth of this, to see in the reflection of the waters, just like the ugly duckling, that the ugly stuckling here only feels stuck because he, she remains identified with this nature that says it must go on as it is. It must be the way it's been or else. And then spiritually, you throw that or else back into the face of the image, back into the face of the ugly stuckling. And you take the step, and you will always, when it's a true step, it'll always be a step into what is not known. And no step into what is not known is taken free of fear. But when you take it, you find freedom from fear, because you understand that fear was always produced by this image and the self that required it to keep that rut in place.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit guyfinley.com, where you'll find a host of free, life-changing information. Thanks for joining us today.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at guyfinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polanski of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit GuyFinley.com. That's GuyFinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.